Check my inbox and what do I see? Just another day, another T-R-A-D-E. I'm an addict, and I need it in my veins. I'm an addict, otherwise I feel plain now. Every day I wake up, people got a problem. Making all these trades up, got me saying got them. But I've been paid up, I even started from the bottom. See, I don't wait up, I ain't even playing possum. So what it cost, I'm just a couple of firsts. Can't believe that it worked, not to say I'm a jerk. But I'm an addict, it's what I said in the first. You can curse all you want, you can pray in your church. But I'ma keep tapping return. I win up, I learn. I ain't trying to burn any bridges. I yearn for the feeling I earn. All my winnings to turn. You had a cheek before I drop you like the beat. I'm an addict, and I'm not really ashamed. I'm an addict, I'm reclining with the brain. I'm an addict, and the pot is what I'm playing. I'm an addict,
Russin Rocky.
Other names, Trade Addicts Pod. Let's go.
I am Rocky Petrella, and I have a trading problem.
I am Andrew Hall, and I have a trading problem.
I am Matt Price, and I have a trading problem.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to session 315 of the Trade Addicts Podcast, a proud member of the Dynasty Addicts Podcast Network, the DAP Network, if you will. I can't do that way. I'm getting wrong. And we will, of course. So we are here tonight. Russ, again, not here this week. I think he'll be back next week. But I got my trusty junkie, Andrew Hall, here with me tonight. Andrew, how you doing?
I am great and addicted to Dynasty, so we're good. We're in the right place.
And we have a great guest that, once again, me and Russ were lazy and did not schedule anybody, and he agreed to come on very short notice. I appreciate it very much. Matt Price from DLF. Matt, how you doing?
Doing great, man. Yeah, always happy to jump in. I love coming on the show and chopping it up with you guys. So thanks for having me.
Yeah, love talking to you too, Matt. And before we get started, though, why don't you remind everyone, I did mention DLF, but tell everybody who you are, what you do, and where they can find what you do.
Yeah, that's it. DLF Dynasty Podcast with Ryan McDowell and Dan Myler over at DLF. Twitter is at MattPriceFF. And anything written you see from me is probably on DynastyLeagueFootball.com.
And I appreciate you calling it Twitter, as you should.
I'm never gonna go. I mean, I'm never going. Just no. You have to. At this point, you have to pick one, right? Like,
yes,
we all these podcasts are like Twitter or X or whatever it is. Just pick one. So I'm going with Twitter.
It's just Twitter to me. Yeah, it'll always be Twitter, no matter what Elon says. But we'll get right into it because we got a lot on the show sheet tonight. Frank did give us some news. He even said, if you have a lot of trades, you can probably skip this. But just in case somehow Trade Addicts is like your only source of football news, I'll run it down real fast. And if you guys want to comment on anything, we can. I really feel like we can kind of just gloss over most of this. Basically, just some very, and Frank even put it this way, mediocre signings this week. Rashad Penny to Carolina. Gross, Frank says, and I agree. And then mediocre wide receiver signings, OBJ to the Dolphins, DJ Chark to the Chargers, Chase Claypool to the Bills, and not making the sheep but happening earlier today is Tyler Boyd to the Titans. And Zay Jones was cut by the Jaguars. As Russ always says, I guess that means their offense is going to fall apart now because it only seems to function when Zay Jones is in there. But if you guys want to comment on any of that, feel free. Otherwise, I'm happy to move on.
I mean, I just receive all of these are threshold receivers, as Scott Connor would say. All of these guys are roster cloggers in a way. I'm not excited about any of them. Yeah, I will be honest. I do roster some of them, but I don't enjoy it. So I'm not like over here excited to see Chase Claypool on my lineup again. Like that's something has gone horribly, horribly wrong if you're starting any of these guys.
Yes, exactly.
I was wondering if these guys are trying, if the Bills particularly are trying to like rebuild the Cam Newton, Devin Funchess, Kelvin Benjamin Panthers team where they have these two big receivers that can't really separate, right? That's what it feels like to me in Buffalo. But yeah, all of these moves are not great. I mean, I think DK Dobbins was still the best running back prospect in that draft class, so that's been really sad. So I hope he does well, but in terms of dynasty value, where there's probably not a whole lot to see there.
Yeah.
Yep.
Okay, so we will move on. And as always, Matt, we let the guest pick. Do you want to start with the listener questions or the multitude of trades?
Let's do the trades.
Okay, got a lot here, so let's get right to it. Starting, and this is not even everything that's happened in the TA leagues the last week. We cut off most of the pick for pick trades because I know a lot of people don't want to hear getting, you know, the 206 for the 302 and the 303 or something like that. So I tried to just include ones mostly with players. This is one of the more minor ones, but I started off with it just because, well, let me get into it. TA2, DeAndre Swift for Khalil Shakir and 302. Two reasons I did include this one on here. One, just to talk about, maybe illustrate just how far DeAndre Swift has fallen. And just to get your guys' thoughts on Shakir, if you're interested at all, given the way the Bills receivers are shaping up right now. Matt, I'll start with you on this trade.
I like Shakir, but people kind of think I went overboard after the Stephon Diggs trade before the draft and was like, oh, this is the guy, right? And I think it was pretty clear immediately it wasn't. Curtis Samuel, I think, is a very good player. So immediately he was going to have competition for him. And, of course, they brought in Keon Coleman. And I think probably Kincaid is going to be the main, you know, reliable target in that passing offense, right? So I would like to see it work out for Shakir, but I think he's going to be mostly a pure slot kind of player. So if he gets the target volume, sure. But he and Dalton Kincaid are going to do a lot of the same things in the same areas of the field. So I'm not super optimistic about it, but I like the player. I would probably just stick with Swift in this trade, unless I'm just trying to get out of running backs for some reason and trying to pick up a dart throw in the third round or whatever.
And I think you made a good point there with the Bills' pass catchers. I think Kincaid is the biggest beneficiary over any wide receiver there, probably. But Andrew, what are your thoughts, Swift or Shakir in the pick?
It's Swift by a mile for me. I mean, DeAndre Swift as of right now anyway, the RB1 in Chicago. They traded for him or signed him in free agency. I guess it really wasn't a trade, but they added a guy, and that means they want him, and I think they're going to use him. I think their backs last year, Roschon Johnson and Khalil Herbert, neither one were really that great, especially for fantasy, but now they got Caleb Williams in there, right? And they got Keenan Allen that they added. Like, their offense is going to be very different with a lot of new weapons. I think DeAndre Swift could be great. And I'm not just saying that because I got to meet him at the Bears draft event, which was amazing. It was funny. He walks up and he's got like a bodyguard with him. He's not in jersey of any kind. You know, he doesn't have anything on him that says his name. And I'm just like, that guy looks really familiar. And I looked at the Bears website and kind of started scrolling through, and I'm like, holy crap, that's DeAndre Swift. Like, he's a lot smaller than I thought he was going to be. But good dude. And I do think that they want him in this town, and in that town, I should say, in Chicago. So, yeah. And Shakir, you guys nailed it. Like, I'm not wowed by that. Even if the 302 is somebody I'm really high on, I'd still much rather have DeAndre Swift.
I agree that this is Swift. And I agree. I think Swift's maybe a little undervalued right now. Like you said, they did pay him a decent amount of money. It's probably, I think, only 1 year that's really guaranteed, I think, the way his contract works out. I'd have to look at it, but I'm pretty sure it's basically they can get out after a year.
Yeah, it's a two-year, but not really. Yeah.
Yeah. But still, like you said, there's a lot of other weapons there, and if Caleb's even halfway decent, I think Swift can do some damage there. The offense should be better than it's been. So I agree. I would take Swift pretty easily here. I was saying before the show, I'm going to kind of look through some of these picks as we're going through the trades and get an idea. Does the fact that it's Blake Corum at the 302 change anything for either of you?
I mean, no. I get the logic, I guess, then, if you really want to trade up for your guy. And actually, this is to your point earlier, where like talking about pick for pick trades, you almost always have to get into the context of who's available and like what are you trying to move up to get? And that gets into the way too much of the minutia. So if we're going to add that context here, I guess I see that side being a little more valuable, but I still want Swift.
And that's what I thought, that it made it a little more valuable, because most drafts you're not getting Corum at the 302.
That's what I was going to say, is that like the Corum is a value there. So I can definitely see a scenario where I'm like, oh, hey, he's still on the board at 302. I'm going to move up to pick him up. I don't know if I would get to giving Swift to make that move, but you know, if you're not competing this year, then you can see it.
Yeah. And for whatever everyone thinks of Swift, I still think he's an easy RB2 this year. So, I mean, that's kind of his baseline scenario for me, with more upside there. But moving on to TA3, this was a me trade, so I'm going to keep quiet and let you guys comment on it first. Dallas Goedert for a 2026 Ferd. 2026 first and 2025 third. Andrew, what are your thoughts on this one? I know I've noticed in recent trades I've seen that Goddard's value is sinking a little, but what do you think?
It is sinking. I think that this is probably, it feels like a very fair trade. I'll start with that. Not just because it's you, because you know I love ripping your trades. But I feel like a 26 first, if it was a 25, I'd go with the 25 first easily. I just feel like that's probably, you know, better value in that regard. But the 26, yeah, you're 2 years out. I mean, you got to sit on that pick and hold it. And let's be honest, we're in Trade Addicts. We're going to trade it. It's a chip. I think I'd rather have Dallas Goedert than the 26 first and the 25 third at this point. But I do feel like that's an even trade. And if it's one of those two where you have too many guys on your roster and you're not contending or you've got another tight end, I don't mind the idea at all, moving that player into an asset to be named later. So I lean Goddard, but I don't hate either side.
Matt?
I'm going to go the other way. I think I prefer the first in this case, just because I wonder what else I can do with that first. You know, like right below Dallas Goedert and ADP is Pat Freiermuth, who had, you know, two regrettable seasons, but was very good as a rookie, and he's moved up the pecking order in that offense. It's really just him and George Pickens now, and then, you know, the rookie Roman Wilson coming in there. So I to me, it's always that, like, what else can I do with that first? And with that 26 first, I just feel like it's a little bit more valuable than the third option on the Eagles offense. And really, that's my personal rule for tight ends. If I'm going to spend a first on them, I want them to be a top two target in their offense. That we've seen historically that's kind of where you need to be at a very like 10,000 foot view kind of level, if you want to have a difference making tight end and like have a guy that's going to finish in like the top five or six at the position. So he's definitely fallen off a little bit for me, but he's in a great offense. So and he's certainly going to pop up for those spike weeks from time to time. So I like Andrew said, I think it's pretty fair, but I would probably go with the first in this one.
Yeah, and I totally get what you're saying too, with them being the third. Like, you'd always want one of those top two option guys. But I did get Goddard here. My thinking was kind of exactly what you said, Andrew. If it was a 25, I wouldn't have done it. I do tend to devalue 26 firsts. Certain guys I'm not going to give up, you know, no matter what, I'm not giving up a first for, even if it's in 28 or something like that. But I felt okay enough with this. And I know we're not supposed to fill our lineups in April and May. But I am pretty barren at tight end too, so that probably factored into my mindset a little bit. So I figured, why not? He's still got plenty of years left, and I can hopefully get that 2026 first back over the next 2.5 years. So that's basically what I was thinking. But yeah, I agree with both of you. I think it was fair. I think he originally asked for a 25 first or something more than this, and then, yeah, we ended up compromising on this. But that moves us on to TA6, and this is our only pick for pick trade, and it's just because it was a pretty big one here. And this was J Mike, 225 firsts and a 25 second for the 108 and the 409. And I'll give you the context ahead of time this time. The 108 that he ended, and I believe this was while on the clock, was JJ McCarthy. You guys are speechless.
Speechless. If I'm trying to get in the hate, I don't know which side J Mike is on.
J Mike got JJ McCarthy. He also has tons of picks, by the way.
That's what I was going to say. If I'm going to try to get into the head of J Mike here, I'm thinking that I probably have a lot of draft resources, and I know that in next year's class that, you know, there's one quarterback really right now. And, you know, like that, at least that's what it seems like. I'm certainly not the college football aficionado. I don't usually start watching rookies until like January or February. But from what I understand, there's only really one quarterback right now that we're looking at. So from that perspective, if you feel like you need to add a quarterback, I mean, JJ McCarthy wouldn't have been the one that I wanted to go. I feel like if I'm giving up 25 first, maybe I could have aimed for for Jaden Daniels or something, you know? So I see where he's going if that's the line of thinking, but it was not the player for me, I guess.
And just for a little more context, he also I don't think he traded for this one, or if he did, it was a while ago. But he also drafted May at the 107 and then made this trade. So
Wasn't he the one who had?
And he's doing this on a three-time title team, by the way.
Yeah.
And wasn't he the one that had the every first-round pick? With Anthony Richardson and CJ Stroud? Did he have all those?
No, it was the Trevor Lawrence year.
Oh, okay. Well, still, he probably has. I would assume he's okay at quarterback, so he's just stockpiling more currency, basically, right?
Basically, yeah. And yet, like I said, he has a ton of future draft capital. Yeah, quarterback right now, he has Hurts, Purdy. These are basically QB3s for him: May, McCarthy, and Penix. So,
hey,
restocking the.
He's got a plan there. Hey.
Yeah.
Classic J Mike. That was going to be my only comment on this is that looking at this trade in a vacuum, I would much rather have the 225 first and the second for 108. I'm looking at it like that's tremendous value for a late first or mid first, right? Even if there's value falling and that's the guy you want to get, I think the value is entirely on the 25 picks. That being said, if you had a guy fall, like we just talked about Corum, right? If you had a guy fall that you really wanted there, you know, like if a Neighbors was there, I've seen that happen in some drafts where Neighbors is there, or Bowers even at 108, something like that. And you're like, screw it, I'm going all in. I can see the logic. I'm not sold entirely on McCarthy. I think he might be a good quarterback. We don't know yet. But then once you said it was J-Mike, I'm like, oh, I'll bet that's J-Mike giving up all the picks to go in on 108 because he's always somehow has like 30 picks every league that he's in. He's a terrific value-finding stud. So, yeah, I think it makes sense for his team, and that's the context that we need. But I would rather not pay that much just to get J.J. McCarthy.
I'll also say I have seen recently some trades for 2025 firsts for second-round picks. So if you're going to do that, then this is totally fine. It's like if you're going to spend that kind of future capital, might as well get your first round pick out of it instead of, you know, using it because, you know, I don't know, Keon Coleman fell to the 208 or something like that and paying 25 or 26 first for that.
And just to your point, Andrew, about J. Mike and his unlimited draft resources, he also drafted Neighbors at the 105. So he got Neighbors, May, and McCarthy.
You guys are never going to win that league.
No, really we're not.
It's really more of a consolidation trade. Then it's more of like I can't possibly take all of these picks. So please, let me overpay for this. And that's
and like Matt's point. There's going to be like it looks like not much at quarterback in next year's draft.
Yeah,
so It kind of makes sense when you look at it that way and the value of quarterbacks and things like that. So. But yeah, I agree that it's a little much in my book, especially I'm not sure why you need to add the second on, especially if you want to do 225 first for 108, I don't think you need the second on.
Yeah. That's the problem with the trade. It's the second. That's really,
well, especially if I'm saying, if you're already sending the two first,
it's just funny to think like, that's the problem that we have with this. Yeah. It's the little tiny bit of frosting on top of that big, huge cake.
Like, really you needed the extra second.
Yeah.
And the 409.
I'll throw in the 409 back. I'll throw in the second, but give me the 409. Let me take a flyer this year.
Right.
Okay, this one is also me. Debo Samuel for 203 and a 25 second. Andrew, you want to start us off on this one?
I'll start with this one. Yeah, I know that there's a lot of hate for Debo, and maybe not even hate, just blah. And I think that there are some people that are out and are worried about him. And he's got some injury history, as if that translates to the future. But the 203 and a second, like that's 2 seconds. That's all he's worth right now. That's a shame. I would really rather have Debo in that case. I'd be happy to trade 2 seconds for Debo, especially, I mean, even if, let's put it this way, even if somebody falls at 203 and I'm excited, if somebody sends this to me for my 203 while it's on the clock, I'm taking Debo. I'm happy to take that pick and move on with it. So, yeah, that's probably the side I want as the player here.
And this, I got Debo in this trade, and that's kind of how I felt. Also, this is also J Mike, and that is where he got Penix, by the way, at the 203.
Okay.
So
interesting. Okay.
You can comment with a little more context, Matt. It's basically Debo for Penix now in the 25 second.
Debo for Penix in the 2025 second. In that case, I definitely want Debo. I was gonna say it would be very player dependent for me because I think that's about right. I think it's totally fair value for Debo. He's probably a late first or an early second and a future second, like you said, or just a couple of seconds. But you know, if certain players fell, I might want the 203. Like I could see if Jonathan Brooks was there at 203, I might want to step in and grab the RB1 in the class if I'm looking to get younger. But no, with that context, I'm taking Debo there. However, I was thinking, I was talking about it the other day on the DLF Dynasty podcast. Tell me what you guys think about this. I was thinking about Penix being kind of like a little bit of a safe pick in terms of, if you think about him as like a 2026 first round, if we're going to say that he is, you know, playing in 2026 for the first time, we kind of think of it as that kind of a draft pick. He would cost a 2026 first then. Like, he's going to accrue value between now and then. Like, the closer we get to him playing, he's going to be accruing value, kind of like a draft pick. Whereas like a Bo Nix or something, if he busts, he's immediately worth less than someone like Michael Penix. I think that's the way it will play out.
Yeah.
So that's kind of the way I've been approaching him lately. Like, I don't really want to wait 2 years for Penix, but if he falls to a certain point, I'm willing to play it that way.
I think that's a really good point. It is basically value him as a 2026 first. Like, I think that's exactly how you should be valuing, and that makes a lot of sense. And I don't know that you're getting much more than the 203 for a 2026 first either. So it kind of lines up with where he was drafted here too, in that line of thinking. I am trying to futilely take on J Mike in this league. I think I made it to the semis last year, fell just short, and J Mike won the title again. So I liked adding another point scoring piece. He's not, crazy old or anything. And this was pretty cheap. But the fact that J Mike is the one that sent him to me obviously makes me nervous, because J Mike can do no wrong.
Oh, man.
So, I have a ton of, I probably need to actually consolidate in that league. I have probably about 15 startable players in a start 10 league. And pretty good startable players, because I've been trying to ramp up to take on J Mike again. So we'll see. You'll probably hear some more TA6 trades from me over the summer. But we'll move on to another big one here, which was, and this was after these guys have been drafted, which is why I have their names on here instead of their picks. Eitan Moshea is in this league, and he was, he's been going full rebuild and kind of went on this draft. With trying to do stuff. And he sent Lamar Jackson and here he is again, DeAndre Swift, for Marvin Harrison Jr., Bo Nix, and a 2026 first. And like I said, this was actually a player trade, because this was after they were picked. Somebody sent them over. So Matt, I'll let you start on this one. What do you think of that one?
This one's tough for me. I think I Lamar Jackson's my quarterback one. You know, I know he's like four or five or six for most people, but for me, he's he offers the biggest ceiling in the class, at the position. So it's tough. I mean, I think I'm probably staying with Lamar Jackson, but the other side is, I think, certainly more fun. And if I have an excess of quarterbacks, or if I have, you know, a reasonable third quarterback in this scenario where I can ship Lamar off and still have really good production at quarterback, then it might swing me that direction. In a vacuum, it's Lamar for me.
I think part of it is, too, he's not that worried about the production, because he is going full rebuild. He was selling off everything he could around draft time, so that he could get younger pieces. So, but, Andrew, what about you?
So, again, Lamar and DeAndre Swift for Marvin Harrison Jr., Bo Nix, and a 26 first. I love trades where you can send a quarterback without getting one back.
Yeah.
No, I'm entirely kidding. I do think Bo Nix has a chance to start some games this year. But I think the value, if you're looking at this just on name recognition or pick value, whatever, it could be on the Marvin Harrison side. A lot of people are putting him up in that upper echelon of receivers already. We haven't even seen him play yet, so I'm a little nervous doing that. I just mentioned Bo Nix. Obviously, his floor is, you know, negative if you want to get really crazy, and a 26 first is always a nice little insurance plan. But yeah, give me Lamar Jackson. I think all three of those guys, if you're counting the pick as a player eventually, are going to and do have question marks. I don't have those question marks about Lamar Jackson. And then DeAndre Swift, which we talked about a bit ago, you're going to know within 3 or 4 weeks whether he's the real deal or not. And if he's not, it didn't matter. But if he is, you just gained a ton of extra value. So, yeah, I love the players on this side more than the rookies. But again, like the context you said, I don't mind trying to sell it off, going for upside. Like, there's a world where Harrison is the next Jamar Chase and is a wide receiver 2 next year. Bo Nix is a top 12 quarterback. We don't know. And then in 26 first, that gets traded away for something else that you can use. So I don't hate it, but I would much rather have Lamar Jackson.
And I'm going to do the reverse of what we've been doing. And give the picks, which is 102, 201, and a 2026 first. And when you put it that way, whatever you think about Bo Nix,
that's not enough.
To me, it makes it, yeah, it makes it clear to me that doesn't help. It's got to be the Lamar side. I feel like you got to get a little more for Lamar than that.
Lamar is, I mean, for me, he's like easily a 3+ first player.
Yes.
I mean, I guess you could say that Harrison is probably a 2 first player right now. So if you want to look at it that way, but I don't know. I think I just think it's the most valuable position. Like if you wanted to, I guess the main piece you wanted was Harrison. Well, right.
Yeah.
If you were going to do that with the 102, why not say Jaden Daniels? If you just want to get younger, you know,
like I said, this was after the picks were already made.
Oh, sorry. Yeah.
Yeah. So he had to work with what the other guy had, but yeah, so I agree when you put it in the pick context that Nix was drafted where he was, it doesn't seem like enough for Lamar, I think, even let alone, you know, throwing the Swift piece in there. So I would have wanted more if I'm going to move on from Lamar, even in a rebuild. Like, in theory, you could hold Lamar in a rebuild too. I mean,
yeah, not I was just going to say, why are you getting rid of Lamar in a rebuild? Like, I wouldn't be selling him cheap like this. I don't know. Just my opinion.
Okay, and then one more TA6 trade player for a couple picks. Interested to hear where you are on this guy, Matt. George Pickens for the 206 and the 207.
Do I get context, or you want to just put
the picks? No, I can do it now. I have it up. 206 and 207, Leggett and Pearsall.
Man. I mean, it's 2 shots versus 1 shot, so I totally get that. But you're probably waiting on that production, right? Whereas this year you get Pickens as the presumed wide receiver 1 there. Yeah, I think that's pretty fair, but yeah, I think it comes down to competing or not. I'll take the Pickens sides because I want the points in general, but I really do like Pearsall a lot. And I think that him going in the middle of the second is a little bit of a value. I think he's worth taking in that first part of the second round. So, that's tough. I really like all of the players involved, but I'll take the known quantity, I guess, in Pickens.
Yeah, I believe in our Junkies rookie mock last week, he went at the 203, Andrew, something like that, with a lot of smart people in that rookie mock draft. So, yeah. So a lot of people higher on Pearsall right now. But what do you think? Do you like Pickens for those two picks, or would you rather have the 2 shots?
I do like Pickens for those 2 picks. I think that Pickens is probably one of the undervalued assets that I feel like I'm acquiring, or at least trying to acquire, as often as I can. I think a lot of people are kind of, I wouldn't say ignoring him, but there's so much other stuff going on. Pearsall went at the 202, by the way, just finally pulled up in our mock draft. So, but what I'm saying is, Pickens, I think, is being undervalued and kind of ignored because there's so much other chaos going on. There's questions, obviously, at the quarterback position now with their 2 new QBs. They've got the Najee Harris not being picked up for another year, and then Jaylen Warren, is he the guy? And then you've got Pat Freiermuth, is he the guy? And Darnell Washington last year, is he the guy? There's so many, is he the guys? And they added Roman Wilson. Like, there's so many moving pieces, and Pickens is kind of like the only piece that, to me, feels steady and future dynasty worthy, however you want to put it. So I still have faith, and I'd rather get more than these if I could. But if you like the guys there and you're willing to kind of move on, then that's great. So that's just, I think Pickens is probably the value there for me.
I'm with you too. I won Pickens there. I like Pickens a lot coming out, and I'm willing to give up those 2 mid-round picks almost regardless of, you know, because we know generally who's going to be there, almost regardless of who the 2 picks were. I think I'd rather take the shot on Pickens, and I just think he has tremendous upside. Especially if Wilson or Fields or both can play halfway decent. I think we could see a lot more than we've seen so far. So that finishes up all the TA6 trades, but we're now on to TA8, which Matt Price is in. So he gets to rip some of his league mates here. the first trade we have is Isaiah Pacheco and the 208 for the 110 and the 306. And I'm just going to comment on the picks as picks while I pull up the thing, and then I'll give you guys some context. But for me, this is close to me. I think I'm okay with the Pacheco side here. I know, you know, it's a running back and it's April and we don't love doing all that, but I do like Pacheco a lot. You know, got a great quarter, tied to a great quarterback, should be hopefully a better offense with Worthy added, with Hollywood added, if Rashee Rice can, you know, stay on the field and not be in jail or whatever. So, there's, you know, Kelsey, obviously. So the offense, I think, is going to be improved overall from what we saw last year. And Pacheco did a lot of good last year. I mean, I don't think he's ever going to be like a top five RB or anything. But that once you get to the 110-ish, 111, 112-ish range, I'm not in super love with anybody. And in general, I'm actually trying to trade down. So I don't mind turning it into some points. That's basically where I fall on this. And you're getting the 208. So you get another late second dart throw there, too. But Andrew, what do you think?
Yeah, I mean, I think your breakdown's pretty in line with mine. I know that a few of the leagues that I've been in that have already started and have kind of even almost wrapped up, I've seen Jonathan Brooks go in that 110 range and, you know, as the RB1 in the class. And I was thinking about that when I looked at this trade and I said, would I rather have Isaiah Pacheco or a rookie running back, which all of the rookies, not all, I guess I shouldn't say that, but most of the rookies landed in really ugly positions where there's just so much murkiness and so much uncertainty. Isaiah Pacheco doesn't have that uncertainty. He's very fast. He runs like angrier than anything I've ever seen in my life. So I would probably have a Pacheco over the 110 straight up. If it was the 108, I could see that being more attractive, but that tier break for me is pretty big. So if I'm taking Pacheco over the 110 and then also getting the 208 over the 306, that feels like a smash accept to me on that side. That 110 to 202 spot for me has been like, I don't want to say it's hell, but it's certainly purgatory. Like I don't want to be in that area. I feel like I'm always willing to trade back and no one's willing to trade up. So yeah, I'd rather get out and take Pacheco, I think, for me.
And before Matt comments, I was taking my time looking up the picks here. 110 was Brian Thomas Jr. And the other two picks, TA8 is one of the ones that just slow. Started. Yeah, we're in the middle of the.
Going whatever speed you need, Matt. Don't worry.
We're in the middle of the second, so the other picks have not been made yet. So
yeah, and I have context. I can add a little bit more context to this too. This pick has been traded like six times. I think Russ started the with 110. It and it went away. It got traded to like four different people and it ended up back with him. So yep. Whenever this trade was made, it wasn't the person who actually made the pick. I'll say that. So this pick, the 110 got moved after this trade was made. Yeah, I mean, I think if it was just Pacheco, I would probably prefer the 110. I really like Brian Thomas in that range. Sometimes you see Worthy slip there, or sometimes Bowers even slips there, maybe not in TA leagues. But when you add the 208 on there too, I mean, you're going to get another good player there. I mean, maybe Pearsall slips there, right? So then you get the wide receiver ups with upside and you get the locked in running back. So when you factor in that second round pick, I'll take the Pacheco side as well.
Okay, and then this is probably our biggest one in TAA. Kind of keep an ear out because there's a lot of pieces here. The 101, which is Caleb Williams. The 202, which is Trey Benson. Austin Eckler for Bryce Young. Amari Cooper. The 105, which ended up being Malik Nabers. And the 210, which hasn't been picked yet. So Matt, I will let you start on this monster trade, and then Andrew, you can follow up.
I feel like you just have to take this trade feels a lot like you just take the best player in the deal, which is Caleb, I think. But I mean, I can see it. You get a quarterback and return, and you pick up that mid fifth, which becomes a top receiver, right? And Nabers. And then you still get another shot in the 10th and another, you know, guy with Amari. So it just really tries what you're doing and trying to do. If you're trying to consolidate, I think it's the 101. But if you're trying to build your team up and create some more startable assets for yourself, I think it's probably the Bryce Young side.
Yeah, that was kind of the way I looked at it. If you're trying to consolidate and you're trying to, like, you know, put your multiple assets into one roster spot because you're going to be over the limit or you've got other players that you want to target, then I'm fine with this value. It really kind of breaks down to me like Bryce Young and the 105 for the 101. I feel like that seems even enough. I mean, I'm not looking at a calculator. Just like, that sounds close enough to me. And then you end up getting Amari Cooper in the 210 for the 202 and Austin Eckler. Yeah, that sounds about right. I would put Amari above Eckler about those eight picks, right? Like, that kind of fits to me. I mean, Amari's getting older. I would probably rather have Amari, I guess, in that vacuum. But I think, too, there is still a world where Caleb Williams is not the guy that we all think he is. He is a bust. Or you go Marvin Harrison at the 101, which, of course, I don't think was the case in this league. But even if that was the part of the trade in your head, you're like, maybe I'd rather have Harrison. I wouldn't. I'd rather go Williams in a Superflex league. So, yeah, I feel like I get both sides yet again, and a lot of these trades are very sharp trades. But I would probably rather have Bryce Young and Neighbors over Caleb Williams and just in that vacuum. And then Amari for the 202, if the 202 is someone like Penix or whatever, right? Like, I could see the value maybe slipping there in a way, and it might be worth more than Amari. But you still got the 210 coming back to kind of pick up some slack. And Austin Eckler's not nothing, but I don't really want him anymore. We'll see what he's going to do. So, yeah, I mean, I'm talking myself into it more and more that the Bryce Young side is probably the one I'd have, just because a lot of my rosters are, at this time of year anyway, are where I'm splitting things up to try to find upside. And I just think the Bryce Young side has more upside.
Isn't it weird that Eckler is the least valuable piece?
Right? What a difference a year makes.
That feels so weird, but it is the case. I mean, look, if Bryce Young does not recover from year one, like, and Caleb is, you know, the second coming, this trade is an absolute blowout in the favor of Caleb. But yeah, otherwise, I think it's probably a pretty fair trade for both sides. You know,
let's talk about Austin Eckler a little bit though, real quick too, because I think that Washington is one of those teams that has like a ton of upside. Like there's a lot of players on Washington this year that are going to be, you know, 0 or 100 depending on how their team goes. And I think Eckler could have a resurgence, right? Like maybe he just needed to change the scenery and getting out of that bad luck Los Angeles team. He could be an RB2 flex option for you. And that's not nothing. You know what I mean? He could score about the same as Amari Cooper, really, and we're looking at this all wrong. So I'm not trying to discount him as junk and roster clogger. He's still worth rostering in my book, but he's probably one of the least important assets in this trade. I mean, he's just slightly ahead of the 210 for me, but, you know, that's if you're an Austin Eckler believer, and I know a lot of people aren't.
Yeah, I think I'd still take the 210 there. I just we have this history of rushing quarterbacks, you know, not necessarily throwing the ball to their running backs, and that's what Austin Eckler's bread and butter is, catching the football. So we're gonna have to see if they coach the look at your first two reads and then take off and forget about that dump off shot. They're gonna have to coach that out of Jaden Daniels, I think. So we'll see what happens there, but it's just. And then at 210, you know, we're going to talk about him later. And I think one of the listener questions, but at 210, you can get a pretty good young running back. Like sometimes Marshawn Lloyd falls there, and Ray Davis, my man crush, is always there at 210. So.
Okay. And we also have another 101 trade also from TA8, so I guess after this, I can't remember which one happened first. I'm assuming it's the way that I wrote them, but I'm not positive about that. But Justin Herbert and the 207 was then traded for the 101. Me personally, before I throw it to you guys, I'm taking Herbert over Caleb Williams right now. So I was a little surprised that there wasn't even a pick added in here. You still got to show it to me, and Justin Herbert still carries a lot of value, even if he's not produced quite as much. You know, he was injured last year and it's been a little up and down. I still am taking Herbert over Caleb Williams. I get there's some concern with the Harbaugh taking over and Greg Roman and the running game and all that stuff. But it's not like they have a tremendous running game right now anyway. So I still expect Herbert to be playing well and throwing probably more than Harbaugh and Roman, Greg Roman wants. So, Matt, are you on the same page here?
Yeah, I think so. I think this is your test of how risk averse you are in Dynasty, right? Because I think the ceiling for Caleb is certainly higher based on the situation that Justin Herbert is in. But we know Justin Herbert is good. Maybe he's going to be, you know, somewhere in like the, you know, QB 10 or higher range. I think maybe even finished as a quarterback two last year, right? So, but you have that safety, you know, he's going to be around and you're pretty sure Caleb's going to be around too, but it just, do you want the ceiling? Do you want to take the risk that you're going to get, whatever we're calling him, the next Patrick Mahomes, or you want the safer option right now. But to me, like the thing that sent it over the top for me was the extra second on top plus Herbert. Like if it was just Herbert for the 101, like I think you have a coin flip situation here. But getting that extra shot in the late seventh is pushes it over the top.
Yeah, I'm right there with you. And just out of anecdotal evidence alone, I'm in a DLF representing the brand, DLF mock draft for May. It is a super flex startup to try to build some ADP and to help the world out here. And yep. Caleb Williams went at 110 and Justin Herbert went at 111. So to your point, Rocky, like they're right there to me. So the fact that you're getting an extra second on top of either one feels wild to me. So, yeah, that side's got the value all over it. And like you said, I know what Justin Herbert can do. I know what kind of value he can be for fantasy. I'm not sold yet on Caleb just because we haven't seen him. So if you're going to tell me I get the higher floor, maybe a lower ceiling to your point, Matt, but a higher floor and a second round flyer pick for ceiling upside also, I'm in. Yeah.
Okay, and last TAA trade. George Kittle in a 26-second. Were the 112, and that was Mike. That ended up being Michael Penix, but for a little future, further context, could have been Jonathan Brooks if that's more your flavor. He went a couple picks later. So I just wanted to throw that in there, but it was for the 112 and a 2026 fourth. Andrew, I'll let you start this one off.
Man, that 26 fourth is going to pay off. Just you watch.
That's the kicker, yeah.
I love those trades. I got a ton of those where I'm just like, throw this in and I'll do it just to make me feel like I can sleep at night. No, but 20 the 24 picks, as we've seen and seen all these guys come through, I think held pretty true to their value before the draft. And there was that kind of chaotic realm, like I was saying before, between that 108, 109 area all the way through the 203 area. I like Kittle. I still think he's got a lot of fun talent left in the tank. So for me, I'd probably rather have Kittle than that random dart throw at the 112. But we are in the throes of rookie season and rookie fever, and I totally get the logic of people just throwing it all out the window and saying, "Give me Jonathan Brooks." Like you got a great value there, I think, or Michael Penix. Which if that's your thing, I don't think you need to give away Kittle to get that. So I'd probably rather have Kittle in a vacuum, and then knowing more context, I would definitely rather have Kittle than Penix at this point.
And Matt,
yeah, I think like Kittle for the 112 is like, I feel like that's like exactly even, like, right. Why I don't want to give up that. And I know it's 2 years away, but I don't really want to give up that second in the deal. I think the way that you spin this for the 112 side is like how I was talking earlier about the way to treat Penix, right? Is you're trading a declining asset for an ascending asset, presumably, for at least from a value standpoint. So that's how you spin it. But yeah, like in a vacuum, I'm probably going to take, I think I want the Kittle side because I mean I'm getting that extra second as a bonus, right? And I think the 112 and Kittle are pretty much equal.
I'm with both of you. I think I want the Kittle side. Again, the second kind of puts it over the top for me, just like with the Herbert thing. Yeah. I agree with Matt. I think it's pretty close otherwise. I think in a vacuum, I'd probably rather have Kittle over Penix personally. But just in terms of the pick value, a late first for Kittle seems about right. And getting a 26 second on top, even if it's 2 years out, I think gives that enough of a boost that I'll take the points and the future pick. Okay, on to TA9, which we can do the trades first. Or Matt in the chat pointed out that I am on the clock in TA9. Ooh, so right. We could also have me make a pick here if we want to do that. So
yeah, let's make
the pick. Make the pick. That's always fun.
Okay, so I am up at the 109, one of the few leagues I actually have it first. And I've been a contender. I think this league's been around 2 or 3 years. I've been contender-ish. Actually, the first couple of years, that was even better. Last year, I was more like, I think I finished, I went out in the first round. But it's still not a bad team. And just for some context. And, I think this is my pick. So actually, I guess I went out in the semis. Because that would be 107, 108 would be, right? Or am I thinking that
right? That sounds right, yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, The picks so far: Williams at 101, Jaden Daniels at 2, Harrison at 3, Drake May at 4, Neighbors at 5, Bowers at 6, Odunze at 7, McCarthy at 8. So no big surprises. I can pull up the draft.
You have 109? Is that what you're...
Yeah, that's where we're at.
I mean, that's to me, the easy. Do you want me to, do you want my input?
Yeah, I was gonna go talk to you guys and see what you think, and I might just do whatever you two tell me to do.
To me, it's worthy, like, easily. I think he's closer. I know he's probably, you want to consider him in the same tier as a couple of other guys, maybe Brian Thomas and Jonathan Brooks there. But to me, he's closer to Rome Odunze than he is to those other two guys. Based on the situation, based on the Rashee Rice news that we got this afternoon, did you guys see that? Yeah. Not only did he have the car thing, now he's decided to go punch a photographer or whatever. So, I mean, maybe now we're going from like a 2-game suspension to actually missing half the season, right? So like, I still like him as a player, but I think Xavier Worthy's going to have a longer runway to, or a shorter runway than he may have otherwise had. So I want Worthy here pretty easily.
And for the record, Frank did send that over to add to the news, but we've talked about Rashee Rice like 3 or 4 different times with different things that have come up. I was just like, we're going to leave that off this one. That's but fair. What do you think, Andrew? You think Worthy, or is there anybody else you're touting me to pick here?
Well, I know that you find Xavier to be worthy of this pick. Yes. I personally think it's between Worthy, Brooks, and Nix. And I'm not saying it based on roster construction. It's just more about how you feel about your roster in general. And I think we've kind of talked about this too. If you're looking for upside, I think Worthy has the most upside. I think he's got that kind of Rashee Rice, Sky Moore, Mecole Hardman kind of, you know, value rise still to come. And I think, Matt, you're hitting the nail on the head. I think he's closer to Odunze than he is to Brian Thomas. And I think the people are putting him in that tier, myself included, but he's at the top of that tier. And that says something. Mm-hmm. I think that there is some value in taking a quarterback like Nix and somebody who is going to start most likely, even if it doesn't feel like a long-term solution. QB2s still have value in Superflex, so I could see you going that way. But I feel like his ceiling is kind of capped just because Denver is and then on the other end of that, you got Jonathan Brooks, which, again, I think is the best running back in the class, but that doesn't say much because the class isn't great. So I generally like to lean on upside with my first-round picks if I can. I don't always do that. Again, my roster build sometimes requires me to, I'm taking risky players everywhere and I want the floor, but if your roster has enough safety and has enough stability, then I think Worthy is the obvious pick. If you've got a lot of flyers already and have a lot of chaos and every other player on your roster is like a Rashee Rice, you know, like someone who you just don't know where they're going to be. Maybe I take Nix because I think he's got the highest floor, but I'm fine with taking Worthy there.
And I think my roster kind of fits more of the kind of stable, what you were saying there, and could use the upside. I'll just give a little context with my roster. Hurts, Purdy, Stafford, which is better than I am at quarterback in a lot of leagues. McCaffrey, JT, Aaron Jones, James Conner, nice. So solid at running back. And it kind of, not that you should ever be picking rookies based on what your need is, but it does kind of line up too in that I have Diggs and Deontay and Godwin and not much after those three. Like I said, not that I would pick based on that.
Draft for talent.
If I'm going to, it would more be for a running back too. Like if I want to pick for need, quote unquote, it might be for a running back I want to stick in my lineup. But I don't really think I need that anyway. And I think I'd rather have Worthy over Brooks here. So I am going to make the pick live on the pod.
That's content, baby.
There you go. Xavier Worthy.
Great pick.
109. Here we go. Okay. Now we can get
great
back
pick. To the great pick. I was going to take him if you didn't. Great pick. Classic draft chatter.
And I don't have a lot of Worthy, so that was nice too. But so the trade here that we have in TA9, we got a couple of those too, even though I think it just started either today or yesterday. Dalton Kincaid and the 108, which I believe I just said was McCarthy. McCarthy went at 8 for Luke Musgrave and the 105, which ended up being a Malik Nabers. I believe this was made when 105 was on the clock. So, Matt, what do you think?
I'm sorry, who was the 108? Was it Worthy? Or no,
McCarthy.
McCarthy. I mean, I'm a Packer homer, and I think Luke Musgrave is really good. So I probably want the elite receiver and the lesser tight end here. Although, I mean, like we talked about, Dalton Kincaid is probably the primary target in that passing offense this year. So that side is certainly attractive, but I want the elite receiver.
It's kind of like one of the trades you were saying before, depending on how things been. Like if McCarthy ends up being like even just a solid starting quarterback, this could easily, I think, kind of in 2 years look great for that side.
Right.
But right now, I think I'm with Matt in part because I'm not. I know Kincaid looked good at times last year. I still want to see it over a full season too.
Me too.
And I have some doubts about McCarthy, although I think he's set up very well with the way Minnesota is at a lot of skill positions and things like that. So I think it's close, but I think I lean the 105 side. What about you, Andrew?
Yeah, I mean, this is that I want to be in the draft to know what's going on kind of thing. I know you just discussed it, but I'm saying, like, to make this trade, I would only move from 5 to 8 if I felt like I somebody was going to drop in that range. Because I think 7 is really that tier break for me, and I know everybody's talked about that to death. So for me, if I'm going to trade, in theory anyway, trade back from the 5 to the 8 to trade up from Musgrave to Kincaid, that feels very fair. I think Kincaid is going to be the number one target getter on that offense. I'm not sure that Musgrave is going to be the top two even on that offense. So I'm a little bit So I'm a little bit nervous there. And when it comes to tight end, it's nice having somebody you can set and forget. Not that Luke Musgrave isn't that, but there are going to be weeks where you don't like that ride. And I'd much rather take the Kincaid and then take a little bit of a flyer on the 8. Every first round pick has risk. So yeah, I'll take the Kincaid pick there, Cade and the later pick there, and be okay with it.
Okay, so our other TA9 trade. Again, I don't remember exactly which order these happened in, but the 105 was, I believe, then moved after this trade for DK Metcalf and a 25 first. How are you feeling about DK Metcalf right now, Matt? And is that a good trade?
Man, I really like DK. I think he's a little undervalued, to be honest with you. They've got this new offensive coordinator coming in. I think it's going to be a more productive passing offense than it was last year. But neighbor is 105 was probably neighbors, you said?
Yes.
Man, I really like both those players. I think I'm probably going to take DK in the extra first, I think. But I do really like neighbors quite a bit.
I think that's where I'm at too. Like, especially with especially with receivers though, I worry more about bust potential. There's been some very highly drafted wide receivers that we thought were close to sure things that still didn't pan out. I mean, Corey Davis and Laquan Treadwell and the like, guys who were drafted at like 102, 101s in some leagues. Especially back when they were drafted, we weren't, I think, valuing quarterbacks even in Superflex quite as highly as we do now. So I just think there's too much bust potential, and we know what DK is, and you're getting a first on top of them. I'll take DK in the first. What about you, Andrew?
I'm with you guys. DK in the first. I feel like the 105 is getting a lot of hype and rookie fever and all of that, but DK was worth a first, and I think could be worth a first again, and I get to re-roll that next year. Yeah, give me the player and the pick. I don't think you're giving too much up there to move into a player that is going to be similar to neighbors in my mind in terms of scoring. Maybe not for as long, but then you also get that first next year to, you know, catch up whatever upside you might miss. So yeah, that makes tons of sense to me.
Okay, we're finally getting towards the end of these trades. Like I said, we had a bunch of them. But,
hey, rookie season, man. This is what always happens.
Yep. And we got one in TA10 and one in TA11. TA10, Bryce Young for the 110 and the 304. I know we talked a little about Bryce Young earlier. Here. Yeah. Are you a believer, Andrew? Is he going to bounce back?
I'm a believer for this price. And this is kind of, again, goes back to that Bo Nix range, right? Like, I think I'd rather take Bryce over the Bo Nix, Penix kind of conversation. And then you're getting, obviously you're getting another pick on top of that, but it's the third round pick. If it was a second, I might go that, but I think Bryce is going to be the guy. I don't think that they're going to give up on him for at least this year and probably even next. So I'm entirely fine sending away my 110, that purgatory pick, for someone like a Bryce Young who might be undervalued. And either way, you're getting a solid QB2 at best there. And I'd rather take the known commodity in Bryce Young.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I feel a little bit biased here because I had a strong, I mean, Bryce Young was, after Anthony Richardson last year, Bryce Young was my quarterback. I took him over CJ Stroud literally every time, to my detriment, obviously, right? that's not a proud, one of my proud moments for sure. But I still like the talent of Bryce Young. He was the number one overall pick for a reason. All of the stuff, the escapability, the ability to improvise and make plays when the bullets are flying, that was always his biggest strength to me. And that's why I've always been a little bit hesitant on just straight pocket passers that can't really play outside of structure, you know. And Bryce Young is the player that can play outside of structure. Now, they're clearly making an effort to surround him with talent. We can question the moves that they made, the players that they've acquired to surround him with, but they are making an effort to make him better and be successful in year two. And with the new offensive coordinator in town, with Dave Canales, he just resurrected Baker Mayfield's career, right? You've made him a lot of money. So I really do have a lot of faith in Bryce Young. So to me, this is, do you want cash out on Bryce Young and like kind of reset with Bo Nix? Like that's a reason to do this trade, or if he's just a superfluous quarterback and you want to grab Brian Thomas there and move that asset to a wide receiver. But for me, Bryce Young.
And this one was made before the pick. The pick still hasn't happened. We are at the 108 and TA9. Interestingly, though, Jonathan Brooks was just recently taken at the 108. I would almost guarantee Odunze is the next pick because he's still on the board.
Oh, wow.
And then you're looking at probably Worthy or Nix or Brian, you know, that kind of guy. So you are getting maybe a slightly better. In a lot of leagues, that's more the equivalent to the 108 maybe or 109. I should say. So it does make it a, but I don't think he knew that when the trade was made. The Brooks pick had been made. So, but I agree with you guys. I am still skeptical a little of Bryce Young. I was actually not as high as Matt when he came out. For me, it was Stroud, Richardson, Young. And I do like that Carolina is trying to kind of beef up the supporting cast around them there. We all know I'm a Deontay stan. I'm a big fan of Jonathan Brooks too. There's still work to do there. I hope he makes the jump. I still think I would probably be okay with this price though, like you said, because I'm also not a Bo Nix guy. So, and I'll take this shot on Bryce Young over one of these second tier receivers too. Because like I said, I mean, we've seen some of the top tier receivers bust, whoever, you know, Brian Thomas could bust, Xavier Worthy could bust, you know, I'll take the chance on Bryce Young, and hope that we get, you know, even just, a moderate improvement this year, and his value can increase going forward. So we have one more trade though. TA11, one of our biggest ones here, not in terms of sheer pieces, but a couple of the players involved, or really all the pieces involved, are pretty high-end pieces. So Josh Allen for Jordan Love and the 103, which I'm assuming was Daniels, but I have to look. But I'll let you talk about it, Matt, while I look that up.
Oh, this I would love to get this offer in my inbox for Josh Allen. I would take Jordan Love and the 103 in a heartbeat here. I know Josh Allen is the QB1, all that kind of stuff, but his weapons are lesser. There's no bones about it, right? And Jordan Love, I was the biggest skeptic as a Packers homer. I hated Jordan Love. I hated the pick. I hated the whole process of it. And then he turned it around. He convinced me. I'm on his side now. And if I can get him and either throw on the best wide receiver prospect we've seen or the quarterback who has the highest ceiling in the class, Jaden Daniels is my quarterback one over Caleb Williams in this class for fantasy purposes. So to have two quarterbacks potentially in the top 10 to 12, two quarterback ones for Josh Allen or a quarterback one and the best receiver in the class, like that's an easy accept for me.
And it did end up being Daniels. And this is exactly the kind of trade I would love to make if I had any Josh Allen.
100%. You're down. I think the best thing you can do if you are a contender and you have a couple of elite quarterbacks and you're maybe lacking a starter or two at another position, tear down. And if you can stay in the top 10, especially, do that. If you can even like, if you can make even more, if you were able to go to like Josh Allen to like Joe Burrow, that's cool. Mm-hmm. And then you do it again down to Jordan Love. That's the way you really make money once you have those elite quarterbacks, I think.
Yeah, I love doing that. And then usually if I get them, it's because I take them in the rookie draft, and then I tear down if they hit. So, because I don't often pay up. But that's the kind of thing I love to do. And to get two quarterbacks here, like you said, Daniels has such tremendous upside and is almost certainly, unless he's one of the most atrocious quarterbacks we've ever seen, it's going to hold value for at least a year, even if you want to get out. So, I mean, as we saw, even Bryce Young, who was really bad, is pulling the 110. So, Andrew, you agree it's a tear down from Josh Allen here?
Yeah, I mean, I think tearing down is almost always the right answer. I also feel like Allen is the perfect candidate to tear down. You hit the nail on the head there, Matt. And I think I know I have Allen in one league. It's actually kitchen sink with, you know, your co-host and friend Ryan McDowell, where I got an offer. Somebody said, what's it going to take to get Josh Allen? And I was like, well, it's going to take a lot. And yeah, this is a lot, right? This to me is enough. Like you're looking at right now DLF ADP, or at least last month, QB8 for Jordan Love. And then Daniels could be QB12 once this one's all settled out. I mean, I think that's something that maybe we can, again, use some anecdotal evidence. I'm in this draft right now. That's one of the many that are happening right now. But Jordan Love is QB11 and Jaden Daniels is QB13. So let's say, even if we go with that, you're getting QB11 and 13 for Josh Allen, which is QB2. I mean, smash that accept. You know what I mean? Like that's enough of a price to me. It's not like you're getting Jordan Love and Bo Nix. You're not getting like Jordan Love and Jackson right. Smith and Jigba or something. You know what I mean? Like somebody with a ton of question marks. You're getting two studs for Jordan Love or for a Josh Allen, and that's what it would take to get me off of him. So, yeah, I'm with you. If I got this in my inbox, I might be that kind of guy that's like, throw a 25-second and I'll do it if it's sent to me, right? Because it's always like there's a little tax. Like maybe I can get a little extra. But if not, I'll take it as is for sure.
Yeah, I'm with you. Okay, so we finally got through all those trades. Let's try and finish off with these listener questions. There's a few non-football questions in here. I'm going to run through those real quick first. DFF_SJonathan02. Anybody watching The Acolyte on Disney Plus when it premieres, which I believe is the new Star Wars show? Is that correct?
Yeah, I watched the trailer the other day. I'll probably watch it. I've liked some of them. I love Mando. I didn't really watch, what was it called? Andor, I think. I didn't watch that Andor, one. Yeah. But I watched Ahsoka Tano. So I'll probably watch it.
I don't watch nearly as much TV as I used to, and I have not kept up with the new Star Wars. I haven't even seen all the movies. So, and I like Star Wars. I'm not putting down Star Wars. I saw the first six, and I don't go to the movies as much as I used to, unless I'm going I see like Wonka and things like that with my kids. So, I don't see nearly as many movies as I used to, even streaming. So, I probably won't be, but I'm sure it's great.
I'm sure it's great. I'm with you on all of that, Rocky. Like I haven't kept up with most of the series for Star Wars at all. I've definitely seen the movies and, you know, like Solo and what was the other one? The
Rogue One.
Rogue One. That was great. Yeah. Like, so there's the movies I've been a fan of.
That's my favorite one.
The series, even Mandalorian, the last season of that, I don't think I've caught that yet. So I'm a little behind on the series. So probably not watching Acolyte. I think Russ said it on Twitter too. Like, I'll watch it, but not until it's all the way out. That's kind of how I am anyway. Yeah. I'm about 6 months behind and then I binge it all and catch up. I need to be in the right mindset for TV shows sometimes too. Like, it's hard for me to just like put on a show for one episode. Like, I don't know. I just don't do that anymore.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't watch nearly as much TV as I used to for whatever reason. I make Matt will appreciate this. I make sure to get my Survivor in every week, and beyond I catch up on when I can.
I think that's the worst I've ever done, and that's the worst I've ever done this season in Ryan Hallam's Fantasy Survivor. I took that freaking Jelinski guy with the number with my first round pick, and he was the first one to go out.
I think I'm in your group again this year, aren't I?
You are. Yeah.
I was doing well, but I lost my second pick this week too.
I won a couple of years ago, but the last two have been a disaster. So
Yeah, I think I still have Maria left, so we'll see how that goes.
They're trading in that league. Survivor. I feel like that'd be fun. Like that's trade addicts right there. Like I'm trading my third round Survivor pick for your TA3 third round pick. You know what I mean? Like some crazy trade. Anyway, go ahead.
Okay, from FF Trader Joe, what is Matt's favorite Mexican food spot in San Diego?
Joe, this isn't impossible. When you come, we will go to like several if you want. I can't break it down to three. This is like when somebody says, what's your favorite movie? It just depends. So I'm going to give three options. Number one, Las Cuatras Melpas and down in Barrio Logan is kind of like the OG, like authentic Mexican restaurant. They have by far the best tortillas in town, all handmade. My personal favorite is in Lemon Grove. It's called El Pollo Grill, not El Pollo Loco. It's just everything is good. They have this Titan burrito that has chorizo and carne asada and fries and like French fries and refried beans and sour. It's just amazing. And then there's a place I like to go for in North Park called El Zarape that has mole, which is one of my favorite things. I've never had mole before. It's like a chocolate chili kind of like sweet, savory sauce. It's fantastic. And they're a little bit, I wouldn't call them upscale, but more upscale than the other two places. And then there's like some really fancy Mexican places, but to me, like the best Mexican restaurants are the little hole in the wall places.
Okay. And I meant to ask you guys this for the show in case I'm just a moron, but do you know what this hashtag means in the next question?
Oh yeah.
Hashtag HODL. So, yeah.
Yeah.
Hold on. It was a crypto, you know. Do you remember, did you ever play video games back in like the late 90s, early 2000s, like in like Pwn became a thing, PWN?
Oh yeah.
Because somebody said own and like accidentally typed a P. It's the same thing. It's hold, but somebody typed HODL instead of hold.
Okay.
It just means have diamond hands or whatever.
Okay. Well, that's it. Eric John Flynn, which rookie are you? Hashtag HODL, Matt.
A lot of them, but I guess the top one would be Jaden Daniels, I guess.
Well, I'm taking this a little, I mean, Jaden Daniels is a great answer. I'm taking this a different direction and saying, which one am I willing to hold on?
Like because they don't, one? Oh, that's a good point.
Well, and which one am I holding on to no matter what, because I don't think they're going to turn into something right now. And like, I'm willing to hold through the bad. And I think that's Jalen Wright for me. He landed in a great offense in a great spot, but he's third on the depth chart behind Achane and Mostert in Miami. So it's like you're going to have to draft and hold Jalen Wright. And I think that's the guy that comes to mind first. When I saw this question, I'm like, that's my HODL is Jalen Wright, somebody who I think I can wait on and get a good value next year for.
I changed my answer then. I'm going to say Ricky Pearsall.
There you go. Yep, that's another good one.
And going with your definition there, I think another guy, a little higher up guy that you could still apply that to is Roma Dunze. I think we're not going to see a ton this year because of Keenan, because of DJ Moore. But Keenan might be gone after this year. And Caleb, you would expect it to improve from year one, year two. So that would be a guy I would throw in there by the way you described it, Andrew.
Yeah.
I think this is pretty obvious, Matt. What DGN game is the GOAT? I mean, is there anyone that we can say besides the name game?
No, it's the only one we play every single episode.
Gotta exactly. Is there any other game you particularly love that is maybe not quite as obvious?
I mean, you don't get me wrong. I love that you guys bring the non-fantasy entertainment to the show, but I always like the fantasy theme games. That's why the show was created, to play fantasy games. So I really like the BS series of games because you get to bid like an auction. Mm-hmm. So that might be my favorite one.
Yeah, I like a lot of the fantasy games too. I guess one of the other ones that popped into my head that we don't play that often, but I like a lot, and it's probably more fun for us than it is to listen to, is Anagrams, which we've only done a couple times.
Yeah.
It's a really fun one. Yeah. It's more fun when you can see the word, I think, when you're listening to it on a podcast, but it's really fun to play.
I want to jump in with my answer real quick, even though I've only been on DGN a couple times, but I love Dawson Socks. Like that is one of those. Like,
I'm so bad at it.
I know. Matt is bad at it.
I know. But that is one of those. Every time I'm listening to it, I'm like yelling random words and people in the neighborhood are like, what is this guy doing? But also it's stupid. It's fun. It's a lighthearted way, but it's still fantasy-ish. So I kind of like that one.
One other one we did that we only did when it was popular a few times, and Matt was also so horrible at it that I love was Wordle.
Oh, yeah. Oh, my God. He was atrocious. That was even worse at the Wordle when.
That was so hard to listen to.
I really need the visual for that game, you know?
We were just doing it verbally, basically. And it's a lot better if you have the visual. And then he asked how long before there was a new game called Bub.
That's a good one. Blank. That's a good one. That seems like something you or Russ or John will create, for
we'll
sure.
have to make up some rules for that, yeah. Okay, now we can get to some of these football questions. We got 3 questions left. From at Ascending Descent, when do you think the most effective time to trade picks is? On the clock no longer seems to be the case. I feel like people just want you to pick, which I get where he's coming from. There's definitely that's always the case, but it feels like even more people are kind of like, if you haven't picked in 2 hours, it's like, what are you doing? But which rookie do you have the most of? He also asked, and which rook are you most excited about hitting their ceiling and then scared of their floor? There's a lot of questions there. Which one do you want to answer first, Matt?
I don't know which rookie I have the most of. I would guess maybe Worthy, because I have a lot of those like mid to late picks, but I don't know for sure. Well, sorry, it wasn't intentional. My TA18 is atrocious, so excited about hitting the ceiling is Jaden Daniels. I think there are 3 quarterbacks currently in the league that have the ability to both rush for 1,000 yards and throw for 4,500 to 5,000 yards. And I think as soon as Jaden Daniels comes in the league, he's the fourth one that has that upside. So,
okay. Well, what do you think the most effective time to trade picks is, Matt?
I mean, I get what you're saying about people feel like people want to pick. The only thing that annoys me really in that situation, like take as long as you want. If you're working deals, absolutely. The thing that annoys me is like, hey, my pick is here. I'm gonna give it 2 hours for offers. Yeah. Like, if you're gonna do that, go shopping. Like, don't just sit back and wait for it. That's the only frustrating part.
Yeah,
but like, I think probably like right after the NFL draft, and if your rookie draft starts like immediately after NFL draft, then that's one thing. But if there's like a week or two in between, I think that's really the best time before, like when we still have the excitement of the NFL draft in our rearview mirror, and we haven't quite analyze every situation to death when we're still trying to figure out exactly how we feel about these players in those situations. To me, that's like the best time to do it if you're not going to do it on the clock.
You nailed exactly what I was going to say. I do think that the way you described it is perfect. After the NFL draft, before you're – at least in most of my leagues, they're within 2 weeks of the NFL draft, if not sooner. And I think that is the best time because a lot of times on the clock – it's not the guy, like they thought somebody else might be there and they're not there or something like that.
Right.
Whereas when, a week after the draft, but a couple days before your rookie draft, that 105 or 108 or 109 could be anybody. You know what I mean? So
hope springs eternal at that time, right?
Exactly. Right. Yeah. And what rookie I have the most of is because I have way more lower picks than higher picks. I've drafted, and I don't even know anything about this guy. It's based purely on situation. I drafted, I think, Dylan Lobb in the 4th round of like 90% of my drafts because he's on the Raiders. And Zamir White is basically the only thing there. That tends to be – whoever my most drafted rookie is almost always a 3rd or 4th rounder. And I almost always go running backs in the later rounds just in hopes that one of them pops off at some point. You can make a profit, things like that. In terms of legit guys – I don't have a ton, like I said, I'd say probably half my leagues I don't have first round picks, and not all of my drafts have happened yet, but I think I have 3 shares, maybe 4 of Drake May. I like the value of where he's falling to. Like Matt, a lot of my first that I do still have are in the mid to late, so you can get him at like 107, 108, 109, and I still think it's possibly Purdue. Just because he went to the Patriots doesn't mean he's dead. So, yep. And I do like the talent. So I think he's the guy I have probably the most of first round type guys. So, Andrew, what about you?
Sure. So as of right now, so far, my most rostered player is probably Malachi Corley. I just feel like he's falling down in drafts and I'm getting him in thirds. I have a ton of thirds and fourths. Not to say that I've accrued them and added them. I end up trading back a lot and trading back for, a second this year, for a third this year and a third next year, that kind of stuff. I don't have a lot of first and seconds. I've traded a lot of those to get players to go, you know, make a run at the end of the season. So I've got myself sitting on a lot of thirds and fourths, and even in auctions, I've been able to go after some later round guys. So Corley's the guy that I think I've had the most of so far. But it's the same. If it's not him, it's the guys in that range, like that, you know, Roman Wilson or Troy Franklin or like some of those receivers with upside that, you know, we're just going to take a dart throw and hope they're Tank Dell. So that's generally that. And then the other question I wanted to answer was the best time to trade picks. I always say if your draft is going chalk, there's no point in even mentioning it. Just draft the chalk. But if you see somebody, you know, let's say Caleb Williams goes one, Jaden Daniels goes two, and Harrison's still there at three, and you've got the 103, right? That's the time to send that offer when it's a little bit different, it's a little bit sideways. Or you see somebody take Brock Bowers at four, and guess what? Now Drake May is still there at five, right? Like, so like some of those kind of, I like that kind of playing the draft and looking at it, what rationally makes sense. But don't be afraid to make the pick either. If you're getting great value, don't be afraid of that. But again, to Matt's point, send offers. I hate when people say, I'll sit here for 2 hours and accept whatever, you know, take a look at whatever offers come in. I specifically don't send offers when that happens. I'm like, oh, okay. So you're taking offers not only from multiple people and are going to evaluate them all together, which means you're not going to care about mine, or you're just sitting there to hopefully get good value, which means you're not going to give me value. So why would I want to trade with you? Like, it doesn't bode well.
And then they don't send a counter. And it's like, okay, cool. I'm glad you wasted everybody's like 4 hour time. But by all means, if you are working the clock, if you are working the phones, absolutely take as much time as you need.
Yep. No, and I'm fine with that too. I'm not saying hurry. It's just more like if you're going to sit there, might as well just make the pick and trade later. What are we doing?
Okay. And our next question is from some guy at Tacit Assassin 13. I don't know who that is. Is this a draft day joke? I'm not sure what this is here.
I mean, we can go into it if you really want to, but I think this is me complaining about an offer that I received in a group text. And Zach is bringing it up as a fun thing.
He says, I want to know how many seconds you have to add to Jordan Addison to get to JSN. Is it 2, 3, 5?
Basically, I'm not going to name any names or give the details, but basically somebody, I think they wanted like one of my second round picks. So they sent an offer of Jaxon Smith-Njigba for my Jordan Addison and 2 second round picks. And I was like, Jordan Addison has been above JSN above JSN since like November or October or something like that, by every measure, whether you want to talk about ADP or market value or calculator value. Yep. I think they're pretty even. Like if you want to send one for the other and you prefer cool, but like 2 seconds on top. No.
Yeah. I'm with you. Also, who is Matt's favorite value in this draft class? A player whose performance you expect to outproduce rookie ADP by the most.
This one's easy for me. It's Ray Davis. I am in love with Ray Davis. I know he's old. I know he didn't get elite draft capital, but his landing spot is incredible. And I think the Bills are going to run the ball a heck of a lot more than we're really leading on, especially if those Twin Towers don't work out, right? It's going to be short stuff to Shakir and Curtis Samuel, and it's going to be the running backs. And last year, James Cook, had a 61% rush share or something like that. And all the other touches went to guys like Latavius Murray and just the Leonard Fournette ended up there. I can't even remember. So those touches are going to go to Ray Davis this season. And I don't think it's out of the question that Ray Davis could lead the team in carries and use James Cook as that kind of more receiving, not necessarily like a full-time receiving back. Certainly James Cook is going to get a lot of work as a rusher too. But, you know, I think he's more effective in that kind of role and let Ray Davis do the dirty work. He's physical. He's got a stiff arm. He's got a spin move. He's got great vision. He can catch the ball. But he's old and he played for like 5 years in college. So people don't like him. So I will take him in the third round every single time. I'm actually afraid that people in T8 are going to listen to this because I have a pick in the early third round. And I probably might take Ray Davis there. So he's probably going to get sniped now, but yeah.
I'll tell Russ to wait until like Thursday to edit. Hopefully we'll be through the third round by then.
You might not even have to tell him. Russ just might take a minute.
You know? That's true. It was directed towards Matt, but did you have any guy you wanted to point out? You want to just go move on to the last question here?
No, I mean, I think Ray Davis is a terrific answer. I think that there are a couple of players in that late round range that can be, you know, that everybody kind of has their flag planted on in a sense. And I think we do this every year, and it's always fun and it's always exciting, and we're always wrong. So part of me is like, you know, I think this guy's got a great, you know, XYZ, and we never get to see it, so it doesn't matter, right? So I always say, just that's where you, I don't mind reaching. Just go reach, go get your guy, go make a pick. Like, don't worry about value, don't worry about calculator in the third round, at, you know, at the 308 in your rookie draft. Get a guy that you like putting on your bench, and don't get too crazy where you aren't willing to cut them. I think I've said this before. I know I mentioned this on Junkies. Like, whoever you take, I'm with you though, Rocky. I like to take running backs late if I can, because usually you know pretty well by August if they're worth rostering or not. Receivers, sometimes you could still see some hope and kind of be like, well, maybe I'll hold on. I want to know really quick if a guy is going to be worth rostering or not, because that week one waiver run comes and you're going to need to make decisions. So
that's what it feels like to me. Those receivers you draft, especially in the third and fourth round, just end up being teams' third and fourth receivers. It seems sometimes, for years and years, most of the time. Occasionally you get lucky, you get a Puka or something like that.
Or Tank Dell.
But the majority of the time, it's just a guy you keep holding on to, hoping he eventually gets a chance. And then they just draft somebody else over him.
Like N'Keal Harry at the 101. Yeah. It just never happened. Oh, my God.
And I mentioned this guy on Junkie, and I haven't really seen much of him on tape myself, but I've heard a lot of smart people like him. He's always there in the third. Kamani Vidal has a lot of opportunity.
He's so much fun.
Yeah.
It gets tough to like bank on a sixth-round rookie, I think he was drafted in as, but like ahead of him is the J.K. Dobbins experiment that we talked about earlier.
Gus Edwards
probably going to take a million carries, but like, is that exciting? And Vidal is like, he's small. Like, he's short, but he's not small. He's thick and he's powerful. He's like 5'8", 215 or something like that. He's a lot of fun and he can catch the ball. So if they are like all run all the time down there with Harbaugh, then he could be a standout, like third, fourth round pick. Absolutely.
Yeah. And our last question from at FF Tommy B gives us one almost every week, and I love him for it. when looking at the rostership across your leagues, what tiers of the various positions, if any, are missing? Is it intentional? If so, why? I'm just going to say, I'm going to let you two answer this, because if you don't know my answer, welcome to your first episode of the Trade Addicts Podcast. Andrew, I'll let you start with this one, then we'll let Matt finish it off.
Well, mine's pretty similar to yours, and I don't think I'm spoiling anything, but I almost never have the Mahomes, the Allen. Like, I just don't really end up getting those guys. Also, I think a lot of times it's because I'm such a fan of trading, and I feel like when you get one of those guys on your roster, you don't tend to trade them. And I prefer trading, and I almost always end up preferring tearing down, like we talked about before, and like taking somebody who's going to get, you know, 0.3 points per game fewer, and then adding a receiver that's going to get me 8 points per game, and just kind of going with that route. So I think it is somewhat intentional, is that even across all positions, I don't have a lot of the top tier stud guys. I end up going a lot with the second and third tier guys, you know, with the extra value there and kind of spreading my roster around. I think a lot of times I've seen some rosters that are very just stud heavy, where you've got, you know, three of the top six quarterbacks and you've got like seven of the top 10 running backs. You've got like 16 of the top 30 receivers. You know, like those are nice. I get it. That's just not how my rosters are built. I kind of spread my love around a lot more. And being the trader and the addict that I am, I end up not really having anybody for long. So it really doesn't matter.
Matt?
For me, it's easily like the top tier of running backs, because I never want to be holding on to the running back one.
Yeah.
Like I just never do. Like it is to me the most dangerous, you know, maybe Bijan Robinson aside. But you know, when it was Jonathan Taylor at one, I was like, I'm out. I took whatever I could get for Taylor. I don't remember exactly what I got for the couple of shares that I moved, but in general, when that running back has just that breakout season, I kind of want to cash out for a wide receiver. Like I traded Bijan for Ja'Marr Chase a couple of times last year. You know, like people are sad about Ja'Marr Chase isn't really working out, but I want to take the safety of the receiver, you know? So that's definitely the one for me.
Yep. Makes a lot of sense. And as Russ would say, that is the end of our show sheet. So that is the end of our show. I want to thank Andrew for co-hosting with me tonight in Russ's place. I also want to thank Matt for coming on again on short notice. But Matt, why don't you remind again before we finish up here who you are, what you do, and where they can find what you do.
Yeah, at Matt Price FF on Twitter. Everything's over at DLF, the DLF Dynasty Podcast. And please, you guys, we've been working. Please go follow FF_Hep. We've been working on these Fantasy Cares Eliminators for the last 2 days. We've got like 70 or something leagues up and running. They're filling faster than we can actually convert them to leagues and league chats. But we're doing an incredible amount. I think we got the half of the goal on the first day, which was incredible. But we still have a ways to go to reach our targets. So please go sign up for those and give them all a follow. Give those guys some love and make some donations for Fantasy Cares. Because guess what's next after the Eliminators? It's Scott Fishbowl season, boys. So yeah, the more you contribute and participate starting right now with the Eliminators, the more fun you're going to have, and probably the better chance, if you're paying attention, to get into the SFB this year.
And great job, Matt, because I was going to mention the support Fantasy Cares. Russ obviously does a whole lot with Fantasy Cares as well, including, you know, all sorts of live streams and giveaways and all sorts of stuff. So make sure you're following them, and you should be anyway, just for the support and the donations. But also, if you want to get in Scott Fishbowl, they're always giving away different things, different chances to get in, and all that kind of stuff as well. Again, you can follow me at Dynasty FF Addict. Andrew's at Andrew Hall FF. Make sure you're following the pod and the DAP Network at DAP_Network. If you like what you heard, you want to keep listening to us, maybe you want to watch us while we're doing this, you can sign up for the Patreon, patreon.com/TradeAddictsPod. You also get access to our Discord chat, which is great. Each league has a chat. There's a general chat. There's a cool kids club that you get with the Patreon, with a lot of smart people in there. And I think that's everything. If not, sorry, Russ, but good night, everybody.
Good night.
Thank you for listening to the Trade Addict Podcast, a proud member in the Dynasty Addict Podcast Network. Please follow your hosts at Dynasty Haha and at Dynasty FF Addict. Please subscribe, rate, and review. We will catch you next time on the Trade Addict Podcast. Poopy Pants, that is the best. See ya.